It is found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 to 10. The title of our message is, Who is Greatest in God's Kingdom? At the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not to say who is greatest. To enter God's kingdom is not possible unless you become as little children. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if the hand or the foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into the life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than have two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Every one of us, everyone in this world, desires to be head and not tail. So it is with the 12 disciples, and they're arguing about who is number one in the kingdom of heaven. So it is with our church. All of us here want to be tauke and not coolie. Coolie is an old term. Everyone has a say and everyone can criticize. My opinion is the best. Well, among the disciples, the most ambitious is the mother of James and John, Mrs. Zebedee. For the father's name is Zebedee. And he comes to the Lord and said, I have a request of you to make of you. Jesus says, What is it? Please make my sons, James and John, to sit on your right hand and on your left hand in your kingdom. Jesus had to say, sorry, to give to your sons the two highest position in my kingdom is not for me to give, but it is left to be given by the Father to whomsoever he will give. But let me ask you a question, addressing this question to the two sons. The cup that they drink, can you drink it? The baptism that I'm baptized with, are you able to be so baptized? And they, not knowing the seriousness of it, but because they want to get to the high position, they say yes. And Jesus said, to drink my cup, you will. The cup of death, you know. And to be baptized with my baptism, you also will be. And how accurate and exact was now Jesus telling the future of these two brothers? According to Acts chapter 12, verse 2, James, the brother, whether older or younger, was martyred, was killed by Herod the king to please the Jews. And John was the last to die, for he was imprisoned in the Isle of Patmos, where he wrote a revelation by the inspiration of God, and afterwards he was martyred. One to sit on the left and one to sit on the right is not Jesus to give. But one to be the first one to die for Christ, yes, you can drink my cup. And for John, the last. So, that was the answer that they got. Many times we would like to ask things for ourselves. I wish this, I wish that. But if you are willing to die for Christ, to do his work and suffer for him, Christ will ever welcome. The second disciple, who was very anxious, very ambitious to be a great leader in Jesus' kingdom, was the only one not a Galilean nor a fisherman. 11 apostles were chosen from Galilee, but Judas Iscariot, he is from the capital. And he wished very much that he could be the prime minister when Jesus will defeat the Romans. After Jesus gave 5,000 to eat, all the people were so aroused, they would now make Jesus king. Well, did Jesus come to found a political kingdom? No. He told them that my kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and you are to labor for the meat which perishes not, not just for the physical food, but for the spiritual food, and the work of God, which is to believe in him. Many of them ate, but they did not believe in Jesus. They had a good time, and they wanted the free food again. When Judas heard this, he at once went against the master, because the master's ideas were contrary to the disciple. And immediately he became a rebel. He became a traitor. And Jesus exposed him right away after the feeding of the 5,000. He says, he is a devil. Have I not chosen you 12, but one of you is a devil. Because of different opinion, Judas later sold Jesus away for 30 pieces of silver. Now Jesus arrives at the answer. All of you want to be number one, but who is the greatest in God's kingdom? The greatest in God's kingdom is very well stated in the very beginning when he set a little child among them and said, except you be humble like little children. Don't say you are first or second. You cannot even enter into the kingdom of God. You must be converted as little children. How we need to be converted as little children and not to advance our ideas and say this is the best, everyone is the best. But wait a little while. We read in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25-28. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. The word minister sounds very big today, to be a minister in the government. You're a cabinet minister. But the Bible word minister means servant. To minister means to serve. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. The word minister is servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve, well, as a slave. And then finally, the leader has even to die, to give his life a ransom for many. How can we be of any use in God's kingdom? How can we, not to say to be greatest, to be considered useful? We must learn it from the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have a contractor. I'm the master, I gave him the job, I said, you do this. But it turned out to be otherwise. I said, you clean up all the exposed bricks, like these bricks. They're here for 40 years and so beautiful, like new. All I want is to clean them. But he painted with red paint. He said, my idea is better than yours. I said, better or not? That is a Chinese saying. If it serves the master's purpose, that is well done. Jesus did not come to do his will, but the will of him that sent him. Jesus was always servant to his master, to his God. So Jesus came into the world to do one thing, to save sinners and to give them everlasting life. But there are two types of sinners. One, the harlots, publicans, the tax collectors, the cheats, the drunkards, the womanizers, but they repent at Jesus' preaching. Well, today we do not have those that are like those who were tax collectors and those who were drunkards to the extreme. Today we have those that are known as drug takers, and they have been in and out of the government prison, some of them for 10 times. They are outcasts. Nobody would care for them. But we have these drug rehabilitation centers, and one is like the helping hand with whom we are cooperating because they keep to the truth. And the leader there was a graduate of Far Eastern Bible College. We thank God that many have been saved through the Lord Jesus Christ through this drug ministry. And they further want to send them here to our Bible College for training that they can be leaders to serve in the drug ministry. Of course, we take them in and have found that they have been very good material for further training to go back in the drug ministry. And that is what the Lord did. He ate with them, he fellowshiped with them, and he was criticized for eating with sinners by those who oppose him, of course. But Jesus gave himself truly as a servant. He became like a little child, humble himself, and he reaped mighty results. We can think of one like Zacchaeus. Today is salvation come to our house, said Jesus. And Zacchaeus was so happy, he was willing to make good 4 times of what he had taken unlawfully and give half of his house for the work of the Lord. The other types of sinners are the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. These, instead of believing like the harlots and the publicans, rejected Jesus and said many bad things about him. They disbelieved even the miracle that has been performed. For example, there was a man born blind, and Jesus made clay and sent him to the pool of Siloam to wash, and when he washed it, he could see, and he told everybody about it. The Pharisees said, that cannot be because he's a sinner. He breaks the Sabbath. And then 3 times they rejected this miracle by asking the parents, is this your son? And the parents, being afraid of them, said, well, you ask him, he's already grown up, he can tell you whether Jesus healed him. And he said to the Pharisees 2 times. Finally, the man rebutted the Pharisees. Why? I've told you already, and you still don't believe. They even accused Jesus when he cast out devils, that he cast out devils by the prince of devils, by Beelzebub. Jesus was very angry indeed for this disbelief and criticism. And Jesus said, with good logic, he rebutted them. If a house will fight among itself, how can it stand? If I cast out devils by the prince of devils, then how about the small devils who are cast out? That means the house is divided. And Jesus challenged them that every bad word that is said against the Son of Man shall be forgiven, but he that will blaspheme the Holy Spirit, his sins will never be forgiven. He is a child of hell. And so you can see, to be humble in the kingdom, to be the greatest, does not mean that we give way and we keep quiet. But when anything is uttered against the truth and against the Son of God, we must take a stand to refute it. Today we do not have Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, but we have theologians, bishops, pastors in high places preaching from this pulpit, as it were. But you are not hearing the truth, but hearing poison. And there was last Christmas a survey made by the newspaper company in England with 500 Anglican priests, and 135 of them did not believe the virgin birth. And how can they celebrate Christmas? When I mentioned that one Indian brother who comes to our worship here, an Anglican, defended his church, that you should not malign us. I said, I was not maligning the church, but I was pointing out the false teachers that are today even prevalent. Let me give you a testimony. When we founded the Life Church in 1950, I was already in an International Council of Christian Churches movement, 20th century Reformation movement, led by Dr. Carl McIntyre. He is now with the Lord. And he took a stand against modernism, liberalism. And I was heart and soul with him. When I exposed the liberalism and modernism in our own church, in those days we were still a colonial church. What I mean by colonial is that those above us were Western missionaries, mostly from England. One of them did not believe in hell. He wrote a book against it, about it. Another one did not believe the virgin birth. Another one said that it was not necessary for Christ to die on the cross for our sins. When I exposed them, they countered by saying that I am a very conceited young man, just out of seminary, and you dare to say these things. But I thank God, we have taken the Bible Presbyterian stand, which has begun in the States. We are not linked with them organically, but we take their stand and their faith. And I believe it is because we have taken that stand that the Lord has blessed our church. The BP church has grown one by one through the years, and at least the Lord gave Life Church one branch church every year. Like Calvary is a branch from us. Like Zion is a branch from us. Like Faith is a branch from us. so that today we have at least 60 Bible Presbyterian congregations, big and small. For Life Church, we can count at least 4. We have our Chinese service, Indonesian service, and a Thai service. And the Filipinas, they have their special Bible study group. Because God is well pleased that we take a stand. Nowhere to be humble, and we are to be small in God's kingdom. It also teaches us that we have to stand firm for the Lord. When we do that, we will be greatest in God's kingdom because we do His holy will. Like our Lord Jesus Christ, who refuted the refugees, send them even to hell. If they blaspheme the Holy Spirit, they cannot be saved. They are lost. We must follow the actions of our Lord to be somewhere inside God's kingdom. Now we must follow our Lord in His final example when He brought water, a basin and a towel, and He knelt before His disciples to wash their feet. Peter did not understand. You cannot wash. But Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Then Peter said, not only my feet, but my head and my body. He was very quick to repent. And then the Lord said, you must wash one another's feet. And that applies to our church right away. We have, our church, certain difficulties. But then, we must forgive one another. We must wash one another's feet and let all the past be washed away by the blood. That is the meaning of washing one another's feet. And so, not only obeying Jesus, not literally, but spiritually. We have the wonderful prayer, Lord's Prayer, that we utter and repeat every Lord's Day. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And the Lord explained that if you don't forgive your enemy, then the Lord will not forgive you. Because we sin against the Lord 18 times a day. 7 times, Peter said. Jesus said, 70 times 7. So here is a wonderful teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Finally, Jesus Christ was betrayed and crucified. And we who are followers should also be prepared in the work of the Lord, in the kingdom of God, be prepared to be betrayed and also crucified. What a challenge. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Be prepared to die. To take up the cross means to be prepared to even die for Christ, to be betrayed. And so, the challenge today to you and me, to every member of the church, where are you in God's kingdom? not to say, are you greatest in God's kingdom? I don't think we should aspire to be greatest in God's kingdom. We should pray that we will be taken into service, that we may be worth something. But those who want to serve in God's kingdom, let him humble himself to be like a little child, easily led, no malice in his heart, but will do whatever he is told. And that is what Jesus Christ, how he has set the example for us. Until the very end, when he became a ransom for us. Let us serve him faithfully, even unto the end. To be willing to carry the cross, to be betrayed, and to even die for the kingdom of God. Are you willing? Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, help us. Every day we do whatever we do, to be thy will and not our will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.